Hello and welcome to worship at St. Stephen's. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As we light the Christ candle, I invite you to do the same at home. Let the burning flame remind us that God's love burns even brighter for you and is shown in the words of Jesus himself. As we prepare for worship, hear these words. Let today be the first day of the rest of our lives where we commit ourselves wholeheartedly to living as God intended us to. Loving God, living thoughtfully in his world as his children. Loving Jesus, sharing and serving as his brothers and sisters. Loving the Holy Spirit, welcoming his guidance as those confident in his goodness. Let us love God, giving ourselves wholly to living as his people of grace, and let us love our neighbors as ourselves, giving, supporting, sharing in love, service, and unity. Please take a moment to be still before our God. Let us worship our Maker, Savior, and Friend, giving him all glory, praise, and honor this day and every day. Would you pray the prayer of confession with me? God of mercy, we place our trust in tangible things, things we can see and touch, and question whether you are really there. Forgive us, Holy One, when we fail to recognize that you are always nearby, patiently waiting for us to recognize your presence and your glory. Help us when we lose our way, and forgive us when we forget to whom we truly belong. Open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear you. Open our hearts to love you, and open our hands to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, God is the love that over and around us lies, the grace that is totally unearned and freely given, and the healing that restores and makes the earth whole. Thanks be to God that because of Jesus and his work on our behalf, we are forgiven. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22, paying the imperial tax to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the ways of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Then when they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are, at the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, in the season of the church year we call Ordinary Time. For those of you who may be curious about such things, that's actually why the antependium on the pulpit and my clerical stole are green. Green is the color for this liturgical season. Now, while some of you may have actually known what season we were in the church year, I suspect that far more of you are well aware of another season we are in the midst of right now. No, I'm not talking about autumn. I'm talking about election season. And what a season it is this year. We have municipal elections in various provinces, our provincial election here in BC, and of course the election that is happening in just a few weeks in the US. While the results of that American election will undoubtedly have some impact on our life here in Canada, we fortunately do not have to figure out how we're going to vote in that one, but we do face that decision here at home, don't we? And so, as happens in every election, I find myself faced with the challenge of determining whether my Christian faith and convictions need to shape how I vote, and if so, how they might do that. Now, it would be much simpler if I could just say no. Church and state have no business together. Politics and religion should not mix, even in my own personal perspective and life. If that were the case, then I could just listen to the issues and the various platforms, decide which one I think has the most promise, or maybe might do the least damage, and then cast my vote for the lucky winner. Elections were far easier for me when I was able to come at them in that way. Elections were easier for me before I heard about this encounter Jesus had with some students of the Pharisees and some Herodians. This text made elections more complicated. You'll remember from the past few weeks that Jesus has been confronting the religious leaders and confronting them hard, and they have not appreciated the sense of judgment and challenge that he's left them with. So they have him now set in their sights. They want to get rid of him one way or the other, and so they're beginning to lay traps for him. Our reading today is the first in a series. Next week, we'll hear about another one. On this occasion, two groups who normally could not have agreed on the time of day had banded together to try to deal with their Jesus problem. The Pharisees were religious leaders who were opposed to Roman rule, and particularly to the fact that the Romans believed that their emperor, Caesar, was divine, and they expected everyone who lived under Roman rule to share that belief. You can see why that would have been a problem for the Pharisees, devout as they were. The other group were the Herodians. Now, we don't know very much about the Herodians. We know that they were a Jewish group who supported Herod, and so because of that, they supported the Roman occupation. So you can see these groups are political adversaries, but they wanted Jesus gone so badly that they were willing to work together in their efforts to try to back him into an inescapable political and religious trap. Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? If Jesus answered no, then he could have been accused of leading people to disobey the emperor. If he said yes, he would have alienated his own people, many of whom were suffering greatly because of the heavy taxes that they were required to pay in order to fund the Roman occupation of their land. For the Jewish people, taxation was a huge issue, important enough to fuel a rebellion. And it would actually do that in just a few short decades. So that was the political trap that was laid for Jesus. Support Roman taxes and alienate his people, or oppose them and be arrested by the Romans for sedition. There appeared to be no way out. Well, if that wasn't complicated enough, there was also a religious aspect to this trap. Roman taxes were paid using a special coin called a denarius. One side of those coins had an image of the emperor on it, and the other side had an inscription: Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus. Paying taxes to their occupiers was a political issue for the Jewish people. Paying those taxes using a currency that proclaimed the divinity of the Roman Empire, that was a major religious issue. It was blasphemy. And that would get you brought before the temple courts for trial. There can be no question. Jesus was caught in the tension between the interests of these two groups. Each expected him to lean one way or the other, but he didn't. He didn't negate the interests of one or the other, but instead caught them in the very trap they'd set for him. With his answer, the scene shifted so suddenly that they both found themselves face to face with the same tension they'd been trying to catch him in. And as we hear his answer today in this text, he catches us in that same tension too. He shows us that it is entirely reasonable to expect us to be good citizens, obedient to our governments, and obedient to God. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. While there are certainly times when those two things will not be in conflict, Jesus also clearly shows us that there are times when they are. And in those times, we must choose wisely, being careful not to compromise our obedience to God. So how do we know when we're in that situation? And how do we make the wise choice when we find ourselves there? Well, some would say that the answer to that question is simple and obvious, and it is. If you hold up your human leaders to be God, or at least godly, whether that leader is a premier, a prime minister, or maybe even a president, if that's the case, then you follow them as they lead. The answer is also fairly straightforward if the reverse is true, and you regard that same leader as the devil instead. Then of course you oppose them. But life isn't really like that, is it? Most of us understand that our leaders are neither God nor the devil. They're human leaders, whose motivations are a mixture of desires, some good and righteous, and others more self-serving. Our political leaders are humans, and so deciding who to follow and support and who to oppose sometimes isn't simple at all. We find ourselves caught in that same tension that those with Jesus found themselves caught in that day. And it can be difficult to find a sure place to stand. So here we are, left trying to figure out how to vote. Are the policies and platforms of our preferred candidates congruent with our Christian values and ethics? Or are they contradictory? How do we figure that out? And what if it's not clearly one way or the other, as is most often the case? Well, if you've been hoping or perhaps dreading that I'm going to work my way around to suggesting how you should vote, then I need to say that's not where I'm going today. Nor am I going to say that politics is a worldly realm that we're best to remove ourselves from if we want to try to remain faithful. In his answer, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's, Jesus doesn't give us room to extricate ourselves from doing our part in the democratic process. We are encouraged to vote if we can. And while I'm not going to suggest how you should vote, I do hope that you sense the challenge in Jesus' words to let your faith be part of your deliberations as you make your decision. It is challenging, and there is a tension here, isn't there? It's just the nature of living in this world and trying at the same time to live towards the ways of the kingdom of God. So there's the challenge. You may be saying right now, so where's the good news, Diane? Well, no matter how the election turns out next Saturday, the real good news is not what we're waiting or hoping to hear on election night. It's something we already know. That our hope isn't in, nor will it ever be, in our human leaders, gifted and inspiring as they may be. There is much wisdom in an ancient psalm, Psalm 146. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Our real and lasting hope is in the one we trust with ultimate authority in our life, our sovereign, gracious, and loving God, the one whose character we have seen perfectly revealed in Jesus. He's the one who will bring the life we long for to fullness one day, and he can be completely trusted with our hope, because his love for us will never fail. Remember, he reminded us through the prophet Isaiah, he will never forget us or forsake us, for he has inscribed us on the palms of his hand. Amen.
Good morning. It's my privilege to pray with you this morning. Let's pray. Triune God, Father, God above us, Jesus, God beside us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. We consider the words of 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He's a shield for all who take refuge in him. Thank you, God, for your perfect way. We are grateful that you have formed a unique path for each one of us and have made it perfect. Thank you, Lord, that your word is flawless. Your promises are never broken. You can be trusted to keep your word. And thank you for your divine protection like a shield behind which we may seek rest and refuge. And we express our gratitude for the amazing setting in which we live. Majestic mountains and trees, rivers and oceans, wildlife and temperate climate, remind us daily, Lord, of our responsibility to care for this lavish gift. We are grateful for the people you have placed in our lives, those that have loved us, mentored us, guided and shaped us. May we always show them our gratitude for their wisdom, patience, and persistence. And thank you for the people that challenge us. May we show them your grace, your hope, and your unconditional love. Thank you for giving us a resilient spirit. May we rejoice in the Lord always, in spite of the overwhelming bad news of the world. Sometimes, dear Father, it just seems too heavy and too much for us to bear. Loving God, we lay before you those that are ill. May they find comfort and peace. And those that are on the front lines warring against the coronavirus, medical workers, scientists, government leaders, may they stay safe, exercise discernment, guidance, and wisdom that will ultimately defeat this horrible disease. And also for us and all people living through this coronavirus era, we are weary, frustrated, lonely, and anxious to return to our pre-COVID lives. Please give us the grace, strength, and patience we need to carry on and to care for ourselves and those around us. We also lay before you those at St. Stephen's Church that are carrying on. Diane, Adele, Fiona, the musicians, and all those contributing to organize online services, devotionals, and other church life items. And for Carol, who has opened the library. And for those working at the Thursday community lunches, we pray for strength, safety, and rest for the body and the soul. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you, we thank you, we worship you. And thank you for Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for your continued faithful giving to the mission and ministry of this church. Would you pray with me the prayer over the tithes and offerings? As we offer our gifts and lives in this moment, may we become imitators of you, gracious God, who holds nothing back from us, but is generous and gracious with all that is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
St. Stephen's, this Thursday, we had a gathering of the people who are involved in the community meals ministry. And part of the reason for that gathering was to officially do a change of leadership. Shirley and Eldon Davis and Gordon Eileen Leachman are stepping back from their leadership in community meals. And Claire and Gail have banded together as a team to take over the leadership for that ministry, and we are very grateful for that. As you know, the Davises and the Leachmans have provided wonderful leadership over the years, and it feels like not only do we need to say thank you, but we should do what we do, St. Stephen's, and pray a prayer of blessing and thanksgiving for their work in that ministry. So will you join me together now as we pray for them? Loving and gracious God, we pray now together as a church family to thank you for the ministry of community meals and for all of the tangible ways your love is shared through that work. We thank you for every person who has had a part in making that work happen since it began. And today we are particularly grateful for the countless hours of service and leadership so generously given by Shirley and Eldon, and Gord and Eileen. Their hearts and their hands have been invaluable and are appreciated more than we could ever adequately express. Thank you, God, for the gifts you've given to each of them and for how beautifully they each answered your call to this ministry. As they turn over the leadership to those you have called for this new season, we, their church family, ask that you would bless each of these precious people mightily. Bless them with health, energy, joy, and a deep peace as they reflect on the work done and look ahead to what you have next for each of them. Above all, God, we ask that they would know the warmth of our love for them and have a deep assurance of your unbounded love and care. Jesus has told us that when we serve others, when we feed and clothe those who are most vulnerable, in a strange way, we are doing these things for him. And so we ask that the Davises and the Leachmans would all have a sense of you looking on them with love and a smile, and would hear you saying to them, "Thank you, dear ones." We ask for your blessing to be upon Claire and Gail as they take over leadership of this ministry. Provide them with all that they need. Bless them with people to help and support them, and give them moments when they know your grace underlying it all. We pray all of this in Jesus' name and for the sake of his mission of sharing God's love in your world. Amen. I have a few announcements for this week. First, a reminder that the library is once again open for you to visit on Tuesday mornings from 9 a.m. until noon. You don't need to book ahead. There are protocols here in place when you come to ensure that visit is safe, but you can just show up sometime on Tuesday morning and the ladies in the library would love to help you. Also, a reminder that we are starting and trying out some coffee time gatherings of 6 people. So the next one would be for the 28th of this month. If you're interested in participating in one of those, you do need to book ahead, so check your announcements about how to do that. And finally, a reminder that this coming week on the 22nd, we will be participating in a Zoom memorial service for Mac Forbes. If you would like to be part of that service, you can check the announcement that came out from the church office in how you do that. And if for some reason you can't be a part of the service at that time on the 22nd, we are going to try to record it and post it on the church website where the sermons are, so you may be able to watch it after. Now, friends, go as those who have found favor in the sight of God. Be imitators of Jesus Christ and an example to all of the life of faith. To the world in which you live, give your love and your service. And to God, give all that you are and all that you shall be. And may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.